Jim and Steve on social media, Instagram and Facebook, a Scooby-Doo-Man-Down-Down-Down-Down. A social media where people go to interact with the things they like, and sometimes the humor they're friends.
And I wanted to give you the opportunity, since you felt like you had missed this really important musical reference for Bloodhook, to like redeem yourself in our opening here.
Like I was saying, is we were trying to think of other movies where they use music as kind of the main theme.
Yeah.
And I was weeding in my backyard. I'm like, oh my God, Zoolander.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's with the, he had the keyboard tie and it relaxed, and they put it on the DJ would be spinning it.
Yeah.
And it occurred to me out of nowhere.
Jim and Steve, they watch a show they've never seen. Jim, Steve, they watch a show they've never seen.
Welcome, everybody, to Jim and Steve Watch a Show, Season 4, Episode 2. In this episode, we're going to take a look at the first episode of Dairy Girls. My name is Jim.
And my name is Steve.
Steve, would you like to tell everybody what our podcast is all about?
Yes. So every week we go to the streaming services, we find a show that either you have never heard of or overlooked for one reason or another. We watch the first episode, we give it a review, and then let you know whether or not we would watch the entire first season.
Yep. And again, we're going to take a look at Dairy Girls. We'd like to begin with some background information about the show. So Steve, what did you find out?
Dairy Girls is on Netflix. It is a British show. However, it's filmed in Ireland and everyone involved in it is Irish. Three seasons. Season one was 6 episodes. It premiered on January 4th of 18 and went to February 8th of 18. Season two, also 6 episodes, March 5th of 19 to April 9th of 19. And then season three came out on April 12th of 2022. Ended on May 18th of 22. That was 7 episodes. And I believe COVID was the reason why there was that gap. I don't think they filmed during COVID, and that's why it came after that. That is the complete show. So you can watch it all and you get the whole story.
Oh, so continuous arc, supposedly?
Yep. And every episode is 24 to 45 minutes. I think the last episode of each season is kind of like the 45-minute episode.
Okay. Yeah. And so that makes it a very easy watch. If you're interested. All right. Well, thanks for the background info on the show. Now up to the summary challenge. In the summary challenge, we'd like to summarize the first episode of the series in about a minute or less. I'm first this time around.
Yes, you are.
All right. So Dairy Girls. This show centers around a teenager named Erin, and she lives in Ireland with her family. This is kind of a day in a life kind of show, and the episode takes place on a typical school day. There's a bridge that's been blown up in town. Well, I guess the show starts off with everybody kind of getting up and getting ready for work and school. They discuss that. The bridge has been blown up in town. Erin goes off to school and meets some of her friends. They get on a bus, which looks like a charter bus to me. Side note, it looked very different from buses I recognize. They kind of get in this little altercation with some of the freshman girls on the bus. I'm guessing maybe this is the first day of school. And they all get called to the principal's office later on for the bus incident and get detention. And during that time, the detention monitor dies. And kind of the last joke was the detention monitor was like almost 100 years old, and they suspect foul play. So
it died in the primer for life.
Yeah, right. that's my summary for the first episode.
Very good. And that's pretty much what I was going to say, but I might be able to add a couple of details here and there.
Sure.
Dairy Girls takes place in the town of Londonderry, located in Northern Ireland. And they call it Derry. The reason why is this occurs on the first day of school in 1994, which is during a time period known as the Troubles, which was this kind of rolling conflict between Northern Ireland and England. Okay. As Jim had mentioned, there was the issue with the bridge, and that's kind of why. I don't want to pretend to know all of the background, so I just that's about as good as I'll go there.
Yeah.
Then you have this group of girls, Erin being the main character. They all go to school. On the bus on the way to school, there are seats in the back that they want, and there's what is like a seventh grader sitting there, and they try to get her to move, but they find out that her older sister is like this really big girl that is a senior, and so they back down, but then it gets back to kind of the school principal that they tried to bully this girl, resulting in them getting detention. There's a couple of small side plots, but as Jim had said, this is kind of a day in the life story, and it's all played for laughs, and I think they did a good job of it.
Oh, that's good. Oh, so many like important details in there that I missed. So well done. So hopefully that gives everybody an idea of what happened in the very first episode. Now on to points of interest, clarification one might need to better understand or enjoy this show. So Steve, what did you find out here?
So I have a couple of things. First, the girls say that they are fifth year, and in the Irish school system, that would equal 11th grade.
Okay.
And so it seems like they go 1 through 6 and then they go 1 through 6.
Oh.
So like if they say you're upper first, that means you're in seventh grade. If you're upper sixth, that means you're a senior in high school. So they said that they're in fifth, which is 11th grade. They all seem to be around 16-ish years old.
Sure.
And then the other than that, you were saying about the charter bus. I had to laugh because I've seen so many people from other countries say, are yellow school buses a real thing? Or is that just something that they do in American movies?
Yeah.
And I think they just must have different buses because I'm like, whenever there's not been yellow school buses.
Yeah. That bus was really nice.
Yeah, it was really nice.
I mean, compared to the bus I had as a kid, that was like a luxury bus.
It was your crazy. Air conditioning was opening that half window.
It was.
Yeah.
Oh man, the seats looked really nice. And
yes, they did.
I thought maybe that bus was used specifically because there was an issue with the bridge, but are you saying that
maybe
That's the basic bus.
But I kind of get the idea that their buses are just much nicer.
Much better.
And then I guess the only other thing I would say is I kept on trying to think of what this show was reminding me of. And if I could say one thing, it's like a funnier 90s version of Facts of Life.
Oh, that's a good analog. Yeah.
Because I started thinking about the characters and I could almost kind of match them up with Facts of Life characters in some ways.
Yeah.
So if you kind of approach it as an Irish, funnier, edgier Facts of Life in the 90s.
That's a good comparison. I was thinking a little bit too about how this compares to what would be a 90s teen drama. And the first one, of course, that pops into my mind for the States would be Beverly Hills 90210. Man, this is not Beverly Hills.
Yeah, this is very different.
You know, and I guess I was thinking like what would be the equivalent. I think the show Freaks and Geeks was made as a response to Beverly Hills 90210 because, you know, just kind of show the other side of it. So I was kind of thinking along those lines where this is maybe kind of an Irish Freaks and Geeks. Maybe it's hard to say after the first episode.
And there's plenty of swearing in this.
There is, yeah.
They go to a religious school. All of their teachers are nuns, but it seems like whether they're in front of them or not, they don't really care all that much.
No. It's funny. I think all of the things that I put down for points of interest and clarification, you answered. I had cultural background differences in the school system, 90s Ireland context. Did they explain... Did I miss this? Why they're called Derry girls?
Because the town is Londonderry.
Oh, Londonderry. Okay.
And because they're in the middle of the 90s troubles, in the opening, somebody spray paints through the London part. Oh, so okay. It's D-E-R-R-Y, not like Dairy Farm.
Right. Gotcha. See, that's an easy detail I should pick up. Oh, that's so funny. All right. So hopefully that clarifies some things, or if you're going to watch the show, you're a little better educated walking into it. So now on to positives and strengths of the show. What were some things that you really liked about it?
I really enjoyed all of the characters. Like, you believe that these are high school age girls just kind of living their lives. They all have very different personalities. You believe that they're actually friends. Like, I thought that was all good. The budget seemed like there's nothing that seemed cheap about this. It all seemed to be very good. I just liked it.
Yeah. I also had realistic characters. The writing's really quick and quick wit and it's funny. A little self-deprecating too, I think, which is nice. And I thought the soundtrack was actually pretty good.
Yeah. They use a lot of 90s music that was popular in 94.
Yeah, so I thought that was all
definitely
all well done. So we agree on that. What do you have for weaknesses and drawbacks? Anything you didn't like so much about it?
Well, now you'll laugh. It's only a weakness for me.
Okay,
I had to put on subtitles.
Oh,
because there were various points where I was not sure what they were saying. Yeah. But that's because I'm an American and they're Irish, and they just have a different accent than I do, and so it was just tough for me.
I did the same thing. I put the subtitles on because I was having a little bit difficult time understanding everything. And again, that's not the show's fault. That's totally
no. It's all me. Yeah. And you know, it's funny. I actually forgot. I think my favorite part of the show was the character James.
Yeah, we didn't mention him at all. Yeah.
I have to go back because they're in Ireland and they're in an all-girls school, and one of the girls' cousins is from England, and he's a guy.
Yep.
And they won't put him in the boys' school because they're afraid he'll get beat up.
Right.
And so they make him go to the girls' school. And then, like, you'd think that they would try to go out of their way to help him fit in. Well, nobody likes him. No. And there's a really funny reverse joke where they're like, I can't understand what he's saying. And it's so funny because he's speaking clearly. Right. And everyone's like, what is he saying? I have no idea what he's saying. And there's no bathroom in the school, and none of the teachers even care. They're like, well, too bad.
Yeah, James is having a pretty bad day.
Yeah, so he was a really funny addition.
Yeah. Some really kind of fun B stories like that, which hopefully, you know, if you're going to watch the series, there'll be lots of that kind of thing moving forward.
Yes.
I guess the only weakness and drawback I had would be that it is a teen drama. And it's probably going to follow a lot of those tropes. It's, you know, if you have it like a day in the life teen drama, I guess it could get old, or maybe it doesn't get more complex than that. So I guess it's a minor critique, but you know, it depends
over
on what you're...
three seasons are going to have to hash over some things that you've definitely seen before. There's no way to avoid it.
Right. So there'll probably be typical issues that each one of the characters are dealing with. And then, I don't know if they get into broader political issues or anything like that. So I don't know. It might be an interesting watch. It's hard to tell.
That's a good point.
Hard to tell from that very first episode, like we said. Although this is a much larger piece of the puzzle than Pedro L.
Yeah, right. This is 1/6 of season one instead of 1/318th or whatever it is.
Yeah, right. So we have a little better idea what to go on to make this decision, which is, would we watch the whole season? Yes or no?
For me, it's a yes. We've already watched 1/6 of it, and I was entertained, and I think it would go very quickly.
Yeah, I'll give the first season a go. I'm the same with that.
Yeah.
So yes. So two unqualified yeses.
That's right.
And this one checks the box of short show, short season.
Yeah. But again, Europe hasn't figured out 6 to 8 episodes per season. Keep them under 30 minutes. And it's hard to say no.
I know. I mean, I really wish we had more shows like that on our end. I see, for whatever reason, that 45-minute to an hour. I don't know.
It's become the norm.
Yeah. And I don't think you always need it.
No, you can, just like Bloodhook, you can shave it down and still have a coherent plot and not need all the extra.
Oh, man. I can't even imagine, like, so it was 2 hours, an hour and a half must have been so much easier to sit.
Yes, definitely.
All right. So we would both watch the entire season. So now I'm curious, how does this rank with the other shows that we've reviewed thus far? And to remind our listeners, in our season opener, we reviewed Pedro el Escamoso. And now we have taken a look at Dairy Girls. I'm probably going to guess which way you went with this, but
we have a new number one.
Yep. I'm the exact same way. So I put Dairy Girls and then Pedro underneath.
Well, I mean, I knew 10 minutes into this, I would probably like it better than Pedro.
I mean, even though it is apples and oranges, I would much rather probably watch Dairy Girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that was easy. Much easier earlier on. But there's only a couple shows. Now on to this day in nerd history. And I'm curious as to what was going on.
Okay. So I'm going to cheat a little bit. Today it's April 4th. But I always find April Fools very interesting. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of different theories as to how April Fools came about. The one that seems to be the most credible is that the Pope, way back when, changed the calendar. The new year used to start on April 1st. Huh. He said, no, now it's January. And almost everybody was like, cool, January. But some people followed the old calendar with April 1st being the first day of the new year.
Okay.
They were then called fools because they weren't conforming to what everybody else was doing.
Oh.
So that seems to be the most credible reason for April Fool's Day.
Okay.
But if you recall last season, I had talked about that French surgeon that was a ventriloquist. Yes. And he was making I really enjoy commitment to the bit. And I was looking around just to find a couple of really good April Fool's jokes kind of on a larger scale. And I found two that were really funny.
Yeah, sure.
So April Fool's Day, 1962 in Sweden. There was a news station that put out a segment saying, if you take nylon pantyhose and stretch it across your black and white television, you'll then be able to see it in color. Okay. And they got like thousands of people to do this. And they were getting calls saying, well, mine's not working. Like, oh, you got to stretch it tighter. And they were like, all these people really bought into it. And I thought that was pretty funny.
That's a good one. Yeah.
The really good one. Now, this is commitment.
Okay.
United States in Alaska in 1974. A guy named Oliver Bicker got a whole bunch of tires.
Okay.
And went to the top of Mount Edgecombe, that is a dormant volcano.
Okay.
He filled the entire crater at the top with tires and set them on fire. Okay. And it looked like the volcano was getting ready to erupt. Oh my God. And he spray painted in huge letters around the tire fire, April Fools. And it freaked out everybody. Okay. And like the National Guard was going to respond and like all like it. There was a mobilization. I'm like, now that guy knows what he's doing.
I just think, like, at what point do you wake up and think about something like that? Like, that's the part of it that I appreciate a good April Fool's joke, but I'm like, do you think, was he just lying awake at night trying to think of like what's the best April Fool's joke and then just came up with it? I mean, like how does one motivate oneself to do something like that?
I always feel like these kinds of things probably start drinking around a campfire and like you're spitballing with your buddies and then somehow it kindles this spark of an idea.
Yeah.
And some people run with it and some people don't.
Yeah. You're one buddy who you shouldn't be telling ideas like this too.
Because they will be like, didn't think about that.
Yeah. Wow. I don't even know that I've done an April Fool's joke, let alone anyone on a scale like that? Have you ever accomplished an interesting April Fool's joke?
So I used to pull them on my mom. Okay. But then one year I did one that upset her so badly that she made me promise I'd never do one again. I had convinced her that my company was relocating me and my family to Spain. And she was not happy. Like I started it in January. I said, we got an office in Spain and they're saying I might be relocated to either Texas or Spain. And so as it kept going closer to April Fool's, I kept on telling her, they're still thinking about it, but it's going to be one or the other. And she's like, I really hope that it's Texas. I said, I hope so too, but you never know. And then on April Fool's Day, I called her at work and I told her that I was being relocated to Spain and she started crying.
Oh, man.
And so then whenever I told her it was a joke, she was very unhappy with me.
Slightly less happy than if you had started a tire fire in a volcano.
It started a dormant volcano. Exactly.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's the thing with stuff like that. You never know how people are going to react.
Right.
But I was going to think do you think some of those examples that you gave are pretty old? Do you think that people are more suspicious of those kinds of things now, or the internet has ruined the possibility, because news spreads or diffuses so quick now, or so quickly, that it would be hard to keep anything going, because like as soon as somebody knows it's a gag, it's out to a million people, right?
I think it's both. I think people are more in tune with it, but also there are so many people like on YouTube that's what they just do, pranks all the time. And so it doesn't have to be April anymore. It's just happening all the time.
That's an excellent point. Yeah, you're right. There's like a whole prank.
And many of them are very hurtful and destructive, and they're not really pranks. They're, to me, they're just cruel.
Huh. Yeah, so things have changed a little bit since.
But yeah, the arms race. Everybody's having to one-up each other.
Pantyhose on the TV. Seems pretty pedestrian at this point, right?
It's like, oh no, I ruined my pantyhose.
Well, that was a good one. And definitely very, very timely for sure. Or somebody wakes up and goes, I'm going to start a tire fire.
I'm going to make everybody think the volcano's erupting.
Well, it's funny. You told me, too, that sometimes people wake up and decide they're going to go cut a cactus down.
And it happens. Yeah. Two or three times a year, you'll see a news story where someone goes out in the desert, chainsaws through a cactus, and they die because it falls on them. And what they don't realize is that cacti are extraordinarily heavy because they're full of water. Right. And so you think it's kind of this brittle plant, but it's very heavy.
But like, again, walk me through the process of like, that's what I do in the day. I don't know. It kills me. I don't know. I mean, I do stupid stuff too, but I like to think
less dangerous and less severe scale. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. Like you said, probably alcohol around a campfire and
the beginning of many a fun adventure.
No one to check you. So yeah.
Yep.
Well, thank you for that day and nerd history. That was really fun. So I hope everybody enjoyed our look at the first episode of Dairy Girls. Join us next week as we pluck another show out of the streaming universe to review. Until then, I am Jim.
And I am Steve. Thank you.
Jim and Steve, they watch a show they've never seen. Jim, Steve, they watch a show they've never seen.